Monday in the third week of Lent, the first reading from the second book of Kings. Naaman, the army commander of the king of Aram, was highly esteemed and respected by his master, for through him the Lord had brought victory to Aram. But valiant as he was, the man was a leper. Now the Arameans have captured in a raid on the land of Israel a little girl who became the servant of Naaman's wife. If only my master would present himself to the prophet in Samaria, she said to his mistress, he would cure him of his leprosy. Naaman went and told his lord just what the slave girl from the land of Israel has said. Go, said the king of Aram, I will send along a letter to the king of Israel. So Naaman set out, taking along 10 silver talents, 6,000 gold pieces, and 10 festal garments. To the king of Israel, he brought the letter which read, with this letter, I am sending my servant Naaman to you, that you may cure him of his leprosy. When he read this letter, the king of Israel tore his garment and exclaimed, am I a god with power over life and death, that this man should send someone to me to be cured of leprosy? Take note, you can see, he's only looking for a quarrel with me. When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his garment, he sent word to the king. Why have you torn your garment? Let him come to me and find out that there is a prophet in Israel. Naaman came with horses and chariot and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. The prophet sent him the message, go and wash 7 times in the Jordan, and your blood will heal and you will be clean. But Naaman went away angry, saying, I thought that he would surely come out and stand there to invoke the Lord his God, and would move his hand over the spot and thus cure the leprosy. Are not the river of Damascus, the Abana, and the Pharpar better than all the water of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be cleansed? With this, he turned about in anger and laughed. But his servant came up and reasoned with him. My father, they said, if the prophet have told you to do something extraordinary, would you not have done it? All the more now, since he said to you that, wash and be clean, should you do as he said? So Naaman went down and plunged into the Jordan 7 times at the word of the man of God. His blood became again like the blood of a little child, and he was clean. He returned with his whole retinue to the man of God. On his arrival, he stood before him and said, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. From the Gospel of Luke, Jesus said to the people of the synagogue of Nazareth, amen, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own native land. Indeed, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the day of Elijah, when the sky was closed for 3.5 years, and a severe famine spread over the entire land. It was to none of thee that Elijah was sent, but only to a widow of Zarephath in the land of Sidon. Again, there were many lepers in Israel during the time of Elisha the prophet, that not one of them were cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. When the people in the synagogue heard it, they were all filled with fury. They drove up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town had been built, to hurl him down headlong. But he passed through the midst of them and went away, sharing the topic. No prophet is accepted in his own native place. We are discouraged and angry when we try the best as we can to love and to care for our loved ones. But these people are indifferent with our love, or even call more suffering to us. Today's reading shows human gratitude and ingratitude to God. In the first reading, the author of the second book of the King reports the healing of Naaman from leprosy by the prophet Elisha. Though he was a Gentile and an Israel enemy, but he was gratitude for his healing and confessed that, "Now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel." In the Gospel, even though Jesus knew his story to point out the ingratitude of people in the past and the result of their stubbornness, the people in the synagogue were still filled with fury. They drove up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town had been built, to hurl him down headlong. The first reading. Prophet Elisha showed Naaman the way to be healed from his leprosy. First, two people with two different faith. The maidservant of Naaman's wife, though she was an Israelite, she didn't hate Naaman, who took her out of her country. In opposition, she desired Naaman to be healed. She absolutely believed that God can heal Naaman through the prophet Elisha's intercession. This is a very dangerous act, because she can lose her life if Naaman shall not be healed. The Israel king. He was always in doubt and afraid of others. When he finished reading the letter, he tore his garment and exclaimed, "Am I a God with power over life and death, that this man should send someone to me to be cured of leprosy?" Take note, you can see that he is only looking for a quarrel with me. Be a king in Israel, he didn't know and would not concern about the prophet Elisha, who had power to heal and were living in his nation. When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his garment, he sent word to the king, "Why have you torn your garment? Let him come to me and find out there is a prophet in Israel." Second, Naaman's faith was confirmed by his servant. Naaman's attitude taught us many lessons. First, the need of humility. The pride of the individual or the nation is the main reason why people don't receive God's grace. Naaman got angry because the prophet Elisha didn't come out to welcome him, but only to his messenger. Naaman forget that he needs the prophet. The prophet doesn't need him. Another unreasonable thing is that Naaman had in his head what the prophet needed to do to heal him, and got angry when the prophet didn't do that. Many times in our life, we also have certain things in mind which we want God and others must do to help us. Lastly, he was proud about all the rivers of his country when he made the comparison, saying, "Are not the river of Damascus, the Abana, and the Pharpa better than all the water of Israel? Could I not wash in him and be clean?" Second, the need to recognize the common sense in life. There are many common things which people can recognize when they are angry. When the servants saw Naaman angrily came back to Syria, they begged him, "My father, if the prophet have told you to do something extraordinary, would you not have done it? All the more now, since he said to you, wash and be clean, should you do as he said?" Back to his son, Naaman went down and plunged into the Jordan 7 times at the word of the man of God. His flesh became again like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Third, Naaman declared his faith in God. He returned with his whole retinue to the prophet of God. On his arrival, he stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Please accept a gift from your servant." It was same when a Gentile fixer who had a strong faith than Israelite king. He believed in the word of his master servant. And on his long way to find Elisha, God's prophet. After he was healed, he declared his faith in God. Gospel. No prophet is accepted in his own native place. Third, Jesus taught them a historical lesson. Today's passage continues the report that Jesus came back to Nazareth, his own native place. After reading the book of Isaiah, the people in the synagogue sat down and Jesus began to teach them. He invited them to look back at the history, to recognize that they should and what they shouldn't do, by saying, "Amen, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own native place." Jesus illustrated two historical examples with a purpose to advise them to have faith in him. First, Prophet Elijah and the Zephath widow. Jesus said, "Indeed I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the day of Elijah, when the sky was closed for 3.5 years, and a severe famine spread over the entire land. It was to none of thee that Elijah was sent, but only to a widow in Zephath in the land of Sidon." Second, Prophet Elisha and Naaman healing from his leprosy. Again, there were many lepers in Israel during the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. The history was repeated. When the people in the synagogue heard it, they were all filled with fury. They rose up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town had been built, to hurl him down headlong. But he passed through the midst of them and went away. Not like Naaman, they couldn't control their pride and anger. They thought that Jesus violated their sense of honor when he compared them to the Gentiles. Actually, Jesus only wanted them to recognize the truth, but they refused to do so. Not at Naaman, they didn't recognize the common sense in life. History can teach people many valuable lessons. Jesus invited them to learn from people of the past. If they make wise and useful decisions, imitate them. If they make unwise decisions, don't imitate them. It was the same when the Gentile and Phoenician woman expressed her faith in Jesus by saying, "Please, Lord, for even the dog can eat the scrap that fall from the table of their master." But many people in the Jesus' native lake not only refused to believe him, but also angrily put him from a mountain. This truth is still happening for all Jesus' disciples. Some application in life. When we feel discouraged and going to give up our good work, remember the truth that Jesus teaches us today. No prophet is accepted in his own native place. If Jesus incarnate to redeem people and were treated as such, we are his disciples must endure the same fate. They don't crucify us to the cross yet. This lesson also helps us to open our eyes, to recognize God's grace, and other help we continually pour upon us, so that we should not be ingratitude to God and to our benefactor. Amen.